Also has scheduling consequences, so Avraham, you know, diligently reminds me. So this Sunday I'm not going to be here anyway, I'm going to be out of town. So regular shiur on Thursday, so Sunday we can start, you know, I guess it works in for everybody's schedule. We will have a shiur on Monday, but Sefer Hashkafa will have the regular shiur Monday because I don't want to fall too far behind. But we'll give you Sunday and Tuesday, and of course all of Shabbos. To prepare. There's a heter to study on Shabbos for the. You're allowed to learn chulin on Shabbos, right? You should, because it's all about movement, it's all about Kedusha Shabbos. So so Sunday, Tuesday, no shir. Thursday, Monday, yes shir. And Thursday we'll start a little earlier. Also, I guess 10:30 we'll try, so we can get back on track and finish up. Because again, we still want to talk a little bit Ola, we still want to talk a little bit about Tachlifim, and then we want to move on to Vav and Zayin, and Chasin, Chasin, Yod, and Yilav. Okay, so we'll do the best we can, but it's, okay, so that's the schedule going forward. We also have a sheer lunch, right, on Tuesday. Okay, this is like, you know, career day, you know, we had last year, so we invite... We began last year. I guess it's a program yeshiva-wide, which I think is a very you know, good idea, frankly. Last year we had one of you know, the Shir alumni here to speak about. He's also, this is another Harvard, you know, trained lawyer. So that's, last year was Willie Roth, who's really wonderful, and this year we're having Sam Ash, you know, who's also you know, wonderful. Was really a wonderful, you know, very talented. Talmud and Musmach, is he in the Chagas Micha? Probably. Was he in the last Chagas Micha? You don't know. You don't know Sam. I forget it. Okay. But you'll see, he's also very entertaining. And so he'll be here on Tuesday. Is it this coming Tuesday? Oh, it is. Okay, so no shir, but there's a shir lunch. And hopefully I'll, you know, get to say a few words as well. Okay. Good. So now let's finish talking about, let's finish off of Avodah Zarah once and for all. Or we should try to do that. again, I think it's, you know, it's terrific that this is coinciding with the yeshiva learning, you know, Masechet Avodah Zarah, because there's so much there. One of the things that we've been trying to explain is that these particular averos that have wider consequences in terms of mumar, in terms of other things, you know, the different ways to look at them, and, you know, they are overlapping, I believe, issues as well, but that doesn't mean we can't distinguish between them in terms of the Chomer Ha'iser, the Chumra of the Ma'is Abeiro. Those are very closely connected. They're not exactly the same either, but they're mostly the same. We'll see a little bit of an example of the difference. In terms of the impact that they have on creating a Gavra, Avaryan, Rasha, Mumar, Meshumad, that's the second level. you know, and in terms of closely connected to that, but also not the same. Again, his status in terms of being a mamin and so on, as opposed to being a min, apikores, in addition to being a Russia, coincidental to his being a Russia. And then the third point, which I think really is very singular, you know, to Avodah Zarah, based on the Argamara and the Mechilta, but especially even Argamara, because it seems convoluted, but in the end of the day, you know, like a lot of things that we, at first glance, you know, don't sufficiently appreciate, you know, the wisdom of Chazal's formulations, you know, if we're correct about what we're saying about Avodah Zarah, so what the Gemara says here is actually, you know, could, you know, it looks convoluted, but it's actually the most precise way to say it, and it also catches our eye and inspires us, you know, I think, to that more precise understanding. Namely, I should always say first what it is, namely this idea that Avodah Zarah is a linchpin or a framework, you know, for everything else, that absence, you know, fidelity when it comes to Avodah Zarah, you know, you're not a Russia Yisrael, you're not a Yisrael Russia, you're an outsider. We don't look at, say, oh, you know, 612, if only you'd done one more mitzvah, you know, that's not the way we look at it. So we look at it, in fact, the opposite way, that if he's, you know, true, you know, to the the theological aspects, you know, then his flaws are insider flaws. You know, he's an avarya. But, you know, otherwise, so that, of course, is a very big idea, and that's the idea that we have been pursuing. Part of our challenge is to figure out, you know, how that expresses itself. You know, I guess that's the, you know, the vertical challenge. In other words, what other dinim in Avodah Zarah, right, or what other dinim that highlight the singular status and stature of Avodah Zarah, you know, also are connected to those overlapping different ideas. And then horizontally, also, to see how it fits in, you know, with other seemingly comparable or parallel transgressions, severe, you know, averos. Of course, you know, the list, you know, seems obvious to us, although that itself is intriguing, and I want to say something about that. I don't want to go into it too deeply right now, but I do think it's tremendous food for thought, and that is the list really comes from, let's say, three different places, and it's not the same list, okay? So, once again, we're not dealing with a clear quantitative hierarchy. Okay, what do I mean by that? The list comes from Yehorig Val Yavor. It comes from Ar Sugya, right? Mumar, which Mumar Ledavar Echards really are a Mumar Lechol Torah Kula, and probably a little bit from the Sugya of Matzilin, also, you know, Benafsho, you know, where you know, a person is on his way to do this particular Aveira, or to force someone else to do this particular Aveira, and even though nothing has happened yet, that you can take radical, you know, you can radically intervene, even to the point of, you know, that person's death. So again, the elite members, let's say, elite, you know, is probably the wrong word, because it, you know, this is all destructive and in the extreme, so you shouldn't call it elite. But let's say the, you know, the small, you know, completely, I guess, heinous, you know, group of crimes, you know, for Mumar is basically Mumar L'Avodah Zarah and Mumar L'Chalas HaShabbat B'Farhesya. And that's our more specific concern in our sugya, right? That's the local sugya. So part of our job is to figure out, you know, whether or not, since they are part of this small group, whether they really operate exactly the same way or not. What about the Farhesya or other requirements? Are there discrepancies between applying these two parallel, you know, Mumar Lechol HaTorah Kulas, whether that's linguistic or substantive? Do we call them both Harehem Kegayim? Do we call either of them, or both of them, or only one of them, Harehem, you know, Kegayim Gemurim? You know, what do we say about some of the issues that we keep bringing up? Like, how many times does it take, you know, to achieve this status? You know, can you achieve it through what we'll call loosely Abizrayu type things? You know, Essen, you know, Laban that aren't Chayiv Misa but are part of the story. You know, the Rabbanans, Agav, right? Eitan brought to my attention the other day, you know, since we raised this question in general, you know, what does it require to be considered a Mumar? You know, that we should have a strong raya from the discussion in the Gemara itself, right? Namely, Mumar L'Arlus, which of course is an Ase. So I do think that's a very good Ahara. I think that, you know, obviously three things to say about it, and they, you know, or two of which overlap, and that is that, you know, Mila, you know, is not just any mitzvah either, and the fact that it is a mitzvah seishesh bakares, and also the key to Kedushas Yisrael, you know, both, you know, in terms of organically as well as in terms of gerus for male, surely heightens the idea that, you know, mumrius, you know, in that area, you know, is particularly noteworthy, consequential. Having said that, I think it's still a very good hara. But again, you know, we do treat Mila and Korban Pesach, you know, differently. And part of the way that we treat it differently is the fact, and Eitan kind of asked me this also, he asked it to me in reference to the discussion between the Rambam and the Ravid, you know, but when you actually get the onish, you know, of neglecting, you know, Mila, you know, whether it's all the time until you do it, or whether it's only b'sayf chayav. But I think that both views, each in their own way, and again, I'm not, you know, not going to discuss that right now, but I think both views, each in their own extreme way, highlights, you know, somewhat the fact that, you know, connected with it being an asei she'yesh bakares, that the expectation of doing a mila, you know, dictates that the negligence or the neglect in terms of not doing it, you know, is almost like a kubase, something that we, you know, have seen, you know, again and again in different contexts. So again, the fact is that, and that's why the Gemara uses this expression, the fact is that a person who doesn't have a bris mila, who's supposed to have a bris mila, has a shame RL. How can you have a shame for something that you haven't done? There's a lot of evidence, of course. You know, of course, Korban Pesach is the most obvious. But any other, you know, requirement of being a mohol, you know, shows that it's a status. And, you know, the fact that it's b'kol gufo and other things. So I do think it's a good point, a good raya. You know, the first thing to say is that, you know, the bris status, where it's required, the fact that there's kares, the fact that, you know, it itself is status-oriented and begida-oriented. I mean, an orel is, you know, the Gemara says in the Darim that the term, you know, orel, is associated with a non-Jew even who has a bris mila, and you typically don't call a Jew, even if he didn't have a mila, an orel, right? Now, again, that means that the connotation of orel is very strongly connected and associated, you know, with, as we understand, with Kedushas Yisrael. So I do think it's an excellent ta'ara, and I think that all these overlapping reasons, you know, raise the question, you know, whether this isn't a huge and a very understandable exception to the rule. The other point is that, assuming that it isn't an exception to the rule, and that you can be an RL even with respect, you can be a mumar even with respect to a mitzvah saseh, or brought about by a mitzvah saseh, or certain mitzvah saseh, the question then becomes very critical, you know, whether or not, you know, the mumar la'arlos that we were talking about, going back to the early part of the sugya, you know, is a mumar la'teyavon, you know, or mumar la'haches. Because, in general, when it comes to this question, and that's why I brought it up just now as well, these abizrayu-type applications, namely, is it only something which is, you know, alav, and, you know, in the case of regular mumrus, you know, also generates malchus, or in the case of mumr l'cholat or rekula, something which is chayv misa, or is it even these, you know, seemingly lesser satellite, you know, cases, you know, with regard to that, you know, there's certainly room to be mechalek between, you know, mumr l'cholat. Again, if mumr l'cholat is not really a status, it's just a chashash, then it is what it is, and it's all psychological. If mumr l'teyavon is also a status, then it's a legitimate question to ask about mumr l'teyavon as well. But certainly, as you get into the more formal areas of mishumad and min and bogade, you know, the next one being mumr l'haches. Mumr l'haches, according to the mandamar, that it's a min. Mumr l'haches, according to the mandamar, that it's a mumar. And then, you know, go from there, or mumr l'osa davar, as opposed to, you know, even in Lahakis, as opposed to Mumr Davar Echad. And then when you go beyond that into the question of Avodah Zarah and Chil Shabbos, and possibly call it Tarakula, but if that's something separate, then the possibility of distinguishing becomes important. That's what I meant by the horizontal part of this question. Is what do we mean when we say, what do we include under the rubric of Avodah Zarah? That's question number one. And how do we compare that you know, to its. So again, in the world of just, you know, since I was talking about its compatriots, let's call it. So you know, you have, as I say, three categories. I'll just read a couple of Rambam just to highlight it in a few minutes. One is the Arsugya Momar, you know, in which Avodah Zarah and Shabbos, you know, Bifarhesya are the prominent ones, and we still have to talk about, again, the Parhesya part and the Regilus part and so on and so forth. The next list, of course, is the Yehari Val-Yavor list. The Radvaz already connected those two lists, but it's a natural connection. We connected them talking about Rav Hanan and Rabbi Shmuel. That doesn't mean they're the same, but it's a natural thing to look at for sure. Again, the Radvaz thought, with regard to the scope of it, it might be the same. So Yehari Val-Yavor doesn't just have two members, it has three members. And it doesn't just have the same members either. It's, you know, Shvichas Damim, Bilei Arayos, and Avodah Zarah. So Avodah Zarah is the only overlap on those two lists. There's no Shabbos for Yehari Val-Yavor. And there's no Gilei Arayos, you know, on the Momer L'Chol HaTorah Kula list. That's very interesting. It might lead you to believe, you know, that, you know, notwithstanding some parallels and overlaps, that the Mechayvim are somewhat different than they very well might be. That's what constitutes like a linchpin in Kol HaTorah Kula, you know, is different than, you know, the Chomer HaIsser that's not subject to Pikuach Nefesh, or the ability to generate Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem, even Bitzina. But those might be two different things. And I'd say Matzilim B'Nafsho, you know, that's something that applies to Rotzeach. And it applies to Gilei Arayos. It actually doesn't apply to Avodah Zarah or to Shabbos. And the Rambam actually makes that Ha'ara too. So what's that list all about? So it's interesting to think, you know, when we rank, you know, we live in a ranking kind of a world, you know. But the Halacha does rank, you know, things also. Just, you know, as we, you know, say practically every day, because, you know, there's reason to say it every day because it kind of comes up almost every day. The rankings or the hierarchies are not always straightforward. The reason for that being that, you know, they're different. If Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem is what's koveya for Yehari Val-Yavor, and if linchpin frameworks is what's koveya for Mumar Avera, you know, Mumala Kol HaTorah Kula, and if Matzilim B'Nafsho is about, you know, what he's doing to himself, you know, saving him from himself in a way. And again, there's evidence that Rotzeach, you know, belongs on a list of its own in terms of savaging, I'll read this in a minute, you know, the Tzelem Elokim. That's why, you know, the Rambam says that's the reason, based on the Gemaras, that the Torah's, you know, so adamant about telling you that there's no kofar, you know, for Retzach. So if I said to you, like, which is the worst, you know, of, you know, now you can't get into the doors of the local shuls, you know, unless you can answer like a quiz, you know, so you can figure out the numbers in Hebrew. You know? So let's say they say, like, you know, how many Averos Chamuras are there, or which ones, you know, you're just not going to get into shul. You know, that'll be a good excuse. So they said, like, which is the worst, you know, avera that you can commit? You know, you could get up there for hours and, you know make the case. It's Rotzeach, you know, it's Avodah Zarah, right? It's Chilul Shabbos, it's Gilei Arayos. Like, which is it? Yeah. So there's a lot to talk about. So just a few more, just a little bit more on Avodah Zarah. Just a little bit more about Avodah Zarah. So just two things, just a few things to remember just very quickly. First of all, in the context of Yehari Val-Yavor, there's a category called Shas Hashmad. And the interesting question is whether that has anything to do, or what does that have to do with? In the sugya of Yehari Val-Yavor, there are three Horeg Valyavors. One is the Gimel Averos. Even then, the question is, are they all the same? In a similar way that we're asking whether Mumma L'Chol HaTorah Kula, they're all the same. Meaning, Gilei Rayos, Shvichas Damim, Abad Azara, is the Mechayiv the same. What does Rabbi Shmuel think? We'll get back to this in a second. You know, about Gilei Arayos and about Rotzeach. And are there other distinctions between them? But either way, there are three categories. One is the Gimel Averos, and they may not be the same. That might break down into three, two, or one. Then there's Farhesia. That is relatively simpler. You know, mostly we know that Mechayiv is Kiddush and Kol Hashem, although there are some complicated elements in that too. Here and there, especially based on the sugya in Avodah Zarah, Daf and Dalet, and some of the Rishonim there, etc. And then the third one is Shas Hashma. There's no makor for Shas Hashma. There's a makor for, you know, Farhesia. There's a makor for Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos. Gilei Arayos actually is based on Avodah Zarah, right on Hekesh, which is interesting. And again, Avodah Zarah, we talked about the interesting makor, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, and why that is seemingly problematic, maybe a Gilui Milsa, but more likely something very much connected to what we've been discussing, nearly the ultimate act of Avas Hashem and Begida in the opposite direction. But what is Shas Hashmad? Oh. So there are those who think that Shas Hashmad is also a kind of Kiddul Hashem, namely, you know, Betzina. It's a colossal, you know, Chil Hashem, and therefore it's even Betzina, in the same way that Avodah Zarah, according to some, you know, might achieve that status. there are other, though, who think that either it's its own category or that it's some sort of a subcategory of Avodah Zarah. But the truth is, in the end of the day, it isn't really Avodah Zarah. I mean, there's no Maisa Avodah Zarah. It's Afilu Arkasa de Besana, right? Afilu Mitzvah Kala. So how does that become a subcategory of Avodah Zarah? Again, the Netziv holds this way and others. So some of them think, you know, in a more technical way, like if that's what the Anas is making the test case, you know, for, meaning, you know, your fidelity or your that's what Shas HaShemad is, right? The whole point is that it's a Gzeiras HaMalchus. You know, they want to test how loyal you are to the Rabbonu Sholem and to Toras Hashem and Toras Moshe. So, in a way, right, that becomes a kind of Avodah Zarah, because what is Avodah Zarah if not, you know, the test of your, you know, loyalty? But is that really true? The answer is, well, there are two aspects of Avodah Zarah, as we know. One aspect is the mice of Avodah Zarah. There are very measured and detailed elements in Avodah Zarah, as we know. You know, the Chilul Hashem or the, you know, Begida part of Avodah Zarah, that's also part of Avodah Zarah. Right, but that's a dimension of it. And that may be exactly what Mumra L'Chol HaTorah Kula, as we said before, is exactly all about. So the idea that Shas HaShmad, you know, could qualify for that makes a lot of sense. And or, if the idea of Mumra L'Avodah Zarah, or Avodah Zarah in general, in addition to the Chomer HaIsur, Maisa Veira, the Rishis HaGavra, all these kind of things, is about, you know, the framework, never mind, you know, being a Mumra L'Chol HaTorah Kula embodied in what, but also the framework for making everything else, you know, either significant or insignificant. I mean, if it's really about how you look at Shar Mitzvos, then that's another way that Shas HaShmad kind of overlaps the Avodah Zarah. Right? In Shas HaShmad, even in every mitzvah kala, everything, because it's not... The way to look at Shas HaShmad is not that the Anos is telling you, do this, do that, do the next thing. You know, there's a very, very long or even an infinite list. Right? In a way, he's attacking, you know, Torah U'mitzvos as a broader category. In the same way that the Ramban that we read yesterday in, you know, Orosh Ola Yochim is Kol Divriya Torah Azos, or the Ramban when he talks about, you know, the Korban of Avodah Zarah in Parshas Shlach. You know, in that very same way. So I think that's an important perspective as well in this issue in terms of loyalty and so on. So again, the fact that there's something called mesis in Avodah Zarah, meaning that, you know, there's a severe category of even trying to entice someone to Avodah Zarah. You know, and that's one of the Arba Tzrichin Hakraza. You know, Kol Yisrael Yishmu V'yiro V'lo Yizidu Nod. So, they're Dine Mesis. They're very remarkable. There are two things remarkable about it. Number one, the din itself, like, you know, there's Avodah Zarah and there's Mesis L'Avodah Zarah. But again, in terms of disloyalty, Begida, you know, being like a traitor to Klal Yisrael or to Torah Hashem, we can understand that Mesis in its own right is a terrible thing. I always like to point out that the first Mesis, you know, was the Nachash HaKadmoni. And actually the Gemara really, you know, takes that seriously. You know, he's the one who said, Divrei Rab, Divrei Talmud, you know, Divrei Mishomim, but, you know, he was the Mesis. So some of the Achronim point out in the Sanhedrin that it's a strange thing, because was the Nachash really enticing to Avodah Zarah? Right? He really was enticing to do a different kind of an Avera. The Avera of the eating, you know, the Eitz Hadas. But I think the point is, they give different answers to this question. But my understanding is that it totally reinforces everything that we've been saying. In other words, in the time of, you know, the very beginnings of the world, right, and the Eitz Hadas, you know, what the Nachash was really doing was fomenting, you know, rebellion against the Ravona Shalom. That's clear in the Psukim, and it's clear, you know, in terms of how he was, you know, projecting what the stakes were, you know, what would happen if she ate, you know, why Ribbon Shalom didn't want her, you know, to eat. It was all about, you know, the rivalry with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not only that, but there was nothing else pretty much, you know, to test, you know, Adam and Chava as you know, as Ovdei Hashem. This is pretty much it. So this was their Kol HaTorah Kula, practically. So in a way, you know, both in terms of the nusach and the implications and the focus of it, it was mesis. It wasn't maybe a technical maisa Avodah Zarah, but it was Avodah Zarah in the gavra mumar mashumad, you know, big bogeyed way, possibly in the minus way, you know, but especially in the, you know, like, what does it mean, you know, to be lifnei Hashem once you're nisas, you know, to that. And therefore the effort alone, that's what the Ramban explains about why Mesis is one of the four that needs achraza. The Ramban says in Parshas, so what does the Kitay say, that why would you know, it doesn't have to succeed for a Mesis to be to be chayiv. The nisas doesn't have to be over to Avodah Zarah. So you'd think, okay, terrible thing that he did, but nothing came of it. But of course, the rebelliousness is in the effort. It's not in the effect. There was no maisa Avodah Zarah here. All there was talk, but there was begida, you know, of the highest point. Now, I think this could be, again, me getting, you know, a little carried away, or maybe not. A mesis has the unique distinction of not, you know, being given, you know, any benefits of that. There's an iser lo sachma lalav, right? I mean, the dinim of yahavta l'reacha kamocha, you know, don't apply to a mesis. And on the contrary, you're not allowed to, the normal mercy and, you know, and so on that you extend to every other Jew, you don't extend to a mesis. It even expressed itself in Dine, you know, Sanhedrin, you know, in terms of, you know, the protocols of, you know, being Mezakeh and Mekayev. It's a little bit of a catch-22, which is an interesting issue, Because until you convict him, how do you really know that he's a guilty basis? So, but, right, not such a terrible problem, but it's an interesting issue. He has kind of, squandered his rights. You know, he's relinquished his rights, for being treated, in a certain fashion. But I think because, just like the Haftas Hashem Elokecha is the makar for, Yehorig Vayavar, in Avodah Zarah, for the same reason, the Mesis is viewed really as a Sonei Hashem, and which is what he is, not because of the action that took place, but because it's particularly obviously evil and heinous, not only yourself, to be a bogeid, but to promote, begida. The idea of Erni Dachas, which focuses on Avodah Zarah, there's a lot of evidence, that's very status-oriented, not Maisa Avodah Zarah-oriented. Like a whole city, can become just, almost in the way, that we talked about the Kutiyim, almost like a Ruba Kekula or a Miut Kekula, kind of an idea. A city that is tainted or tarnished in such a way, it doesn't matter whether, lo haya v'lo nivra, drosh v'kabel schar, but certainly the concept of it, of Yerni Dachas, I think fits in very nicely, and some of the details as well, which you're not going to go into. The fact that in Horoas Shah, whether it's a chacham or a navi, that, there can be a Horoas Shah lavar al dibrei Torah, l'migdar milsa, and that the one exception, again, is Avodah Zarah, right, is also, I think, consistent with this idea. Not only, again, it could be attributed to the Chomer HaIsur or the Chomer HaAveira, but much more likely, I mean, it is very Chomer, but so is Chilul Shabbos, and so is, many other things. But particularly the idea that, Kalamoda, Ba'avodah Zarah, is Kekofer B'Kala Torah, and call it kofer b'avodah zarah is kemoda b'kol haTorah. This idea, that because the whole idea, of course, of Horoas Shah is like the Rambam describes, es lasas Hashem eferu Torah secha. It's an amputation, which one should, of course, a terrible thing. One should never experience it. But the idea of an amputation is that you make a hard decision, to save the whole. By sacrificing a part. But there's no whole and parts when it comes to Avodah Zarah if it isn't just the Chomer HaAveira, but it's about the framework which makes sensible, right, everything else. The Or HaChaim in Parshas Yisro wants to say that that's the pshat in Al Panai, meaning he says, he means it more in a technical way, but I just think it works in nicely. Meaning al panai, meaning that, the Ribbono Shel Olam basically says Avodah Zarah is always al panai. There's no such thing. He says this is what the Rambam means when he codifies that there's no Horoas Shah. I mean, it's not just the Rambam, that there's no Horoas Shah for Avodah Zarah, because it's never l'shah. It's always Avodah Zarah is always al panai. But I would just take it not just as a remez and a gili milsa, but with this yisod, that absent of Avodah Zarah, there's nothing to preserve. In that sense, there's no zman, and there's no hole that justifies, the part. And of course, the different role of makshaba, in this, lekula and lechumra, obviously part of the story. as well. Okay. For this reason, also, it would be understandable if some of the Abizrayus, we'll call them, meaning some of the more satellite violations of Avodah Zarah, which in terms of Chomer Maiso HaVeira or Chomer HaIsur, certainly do not qualify as Avodah Zarah, whether it's Layid Bak Mu'ma Menacherim, or even, more like things like the Tmeiver, or Marisayan. Again, it has to be understood in its own way. But the idea that they might qualify in terms of Begida, meaning Rishas Agavra, or and, you know, in terms of what they imply, you know, about your connection to Kol HaMitzvos, this is something to consider as well. Both in terms of, again, the Horig Vayavra Sugyas, where this is a very healthy, strong debate. Are you going to say the same Abizrayu ideas, you know, for Avodah Zarah, for example, as for Gili Arayos? Right, parallel discussions. You know, both in terms of Lifnei Iver, Marisayin, but also in terms of the Lavin. You know, what about Pnuya? You know, what about, you know, Lavin Shel Kahuna? You know, as opposed to things like HSH, you know, Kanoim Pogim cases. So again, I don't want to get involved in all this, but hopefully the general idea, even something which is coming up in, you know, the next couple of weeks. and that is, you know, the story of the Egel HaZahav. And of course, it's devastating, you know, impact on the trajectory of not only B'Shaito, but on the trajectory of Klal Yisrael, perhaps L'Dorei Doros. I think we talked about it last year somewhat, right? It's ringing in my ears, yeah? It did. About the Luchos and all that. So what's fascinating about the Egel HaZahav story, no one can deny how, you know, pivotal it was, right? And typically, you know, we identify it as exemplifying Avodah Zarah, right? However, you know, there are many Mefarshim, prominent among them the Ramban, but it's based already in Chazal, who are of the opinion that there really was no Kavanas Avodah Zarah. And that, you know, Ramban, you know, tries very hard to, I wouldn't say justify Chalila, but he, you know, to understand, let's say, how Klal Yisrael could be involved in such an enterprise. You know, and what he says is that it was all basically, you know, a massive misunderstanding in the sense that, you know, they didn't think that the Egel HaZahav was an intrinsic god, but they felt that it was like, you know, a mechanism. It could be a substitute for Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, as a vehicle, you know, to interact with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But at the end of the day, that's Ramban's argument. In the end of the day, the impact of the Egel HaZahav, you know, is not less because of that optimistic, maybe even compelling, you know, assessment. In the end of the day, it's treated as Avodah Zarah and one which changed, as I say, the trajectory of Klal Yisrael. So is it Avodah Zarah or is it not Avodah Zarah? It's definitely spoken of, you know, in terms of Avodah Zarah. But I would argue, once again, that maybe the idea is that in terms of the, you know, Maisa Veira, you know, maybe it didn't qualify fully as an act of Avodah Zarah. But in terms of the Begida aspect, given what was expected of Klal Yisrael at this particular time, the expectations figure into Begida, as we've seen all along, and, you know, the role of, you know, what Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, you know, and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs can mean, you know, in light of this kind of behavior, that aspect of Avodah Zarah, which is sufficiently devastating, is something which continues to apply. Okay. The idea that there is an overlap between Gili Arayos and Avodah Zarah itself, something for which there is much evidence, not only because they belong in, you know, on certain of the same lists, the Har Vayavar list, you know, the Mabul list, you know, clearly they're part of a negative fraternity. There's no question about that. But I say the Hekesh in your Har Vayavar is to link the two. And you know, the psukim in Los Iskatein, you know, pen yasuru, velo yasuru, imply this connection, for sure, as we've already noted. We talked about it in terms of Meshumad and Kuti and those issues. Again, some of the Mefarshim in Yisro, when they want to explain the correspondences in the Aseres HaDibros, the first group and the second group, you know, talk a lot about, again, this connection between Avodah Zarah, I think the Kli Yakar, among others, and just shows how in Chazal this is like a given, that there's a connection between, you know, Baal Peor. So again, it's just behavioristically, like it's a vulnerability in Klal Yisrael, you know, to entice people to Avodah Zarah through Gili Arayos. But, you know, it appears that there's a little more than that. Either way, in terms of, again, the technical Maisa Avodah Zarah, there's no connection whatsoever. But in terms of, again, as an act of Mumrius, you know, and especially at certain points in time, given expectations, and the question of, you know, the environment for the rest of Shemiras HaMitzvos, the idea that there is this connection is something which is very reasonable. Having said that, so that we'll just go back for a couple of minutes to Islam and general, you know, rejection of Torah Moshe to extent that those are Avodah Zarah. But there was a question first. Was there a question? Yeah.
Just to go back to Shas HaShmat for a
yeah.
second. Mm-hmm. Is there any room to push back and say that in a case of Shas HaShmat, there is, like, we should be more makel because it's not even about someone's desire to do something terrible. It's like, given the circumstances, this is what is in front of he or she at the moment. Meaning it's not like of a Gida type of I'm trying to, this is a rebellious strand.
Well, that's true at all Yehori Vayavar. In a case of Yehori Vayavar, whether it's the Anos variety or the Chola variety, in Bekomet Srapen, the individual facing the terrible choice is a victim. Right? He's a victim of his, you know, physical circumstances or of somebody else's crazy agenda. And because of that, you know, there are adjustments because of that, you know, relative to, let's say, our sugya, you know, where he's a mumar, and we're just trying to assess what that means for the rest of his yadus. So, 100%. And that's why there might be a p'tur onus, you know, if Rabbi Shmuel is mekel in Yehori Vayavar, it doesn't mean he agrees with Ravanan, you know, here. So, 100%. That is true about Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, and it's even true about Shvichas Damim. And it's certainly true about Shas HaShmat. But if on the chiyuv level, you know, we still demand of him Yehori Vayavar, right? We still need to be able to explain, you know, why that is, you know, given v'chayim v'lashiyom es b'hem, and what changes by virtue of, you know, shas gzeiras hamelech. Again, you know, farhesya and sinna, we can all wrap our heads around that. That's pretty easy, you know. But if you're talking about arkas of the misana, you know, it's much, much harder. So I would agree with you that, you know, even relative to, I mean, everybody's an anus in the case of Yehori Vayavar, but even relative to that, I would say that Arkas of the Masana is not just the most anus, but the most mechudash, let's say, of the Yehori Vayavar. Does it make sense that you might, you know, be mechalek, let's say, in terms of your anus and other things? Maybe, or Abizrai, or things like, maybe. But I think what we really need to explain is not the kulas of Arkas of Masana, but why, despite the fact that objectively it seems kal, we're treating it so humble. And that I'm suggesting is either that's Chilul Hashem b'tzina, or it's just a separate din entirely. It's like, you know, all right, they took this away from you, they took that away from you, but here they're going to take everything away from you, bite by bite by bite by bite. You know, meaning that kind of bite. And I'm not like singing, and I'm not speaking computer language either. So that's like just a different, you know, way of reckoning things. You know, death by, how do they say it? A thousand stab wounds or stabs? You know,
paper
cuts, okay. That doesn't sound so Shakespearean, but I think it has its origins in like Shakespeare or something like this. The exact quote, but or that this, you know, becomes, you know, like an Avodah Zarah, either in the particular act, like it gets elevated in stature because this is what everybody's looking at, you know, etc., or because, as I said before, it's, you know, it's a test case, not for this, and then there'll be another one tomorrow and one after, one after. Not the death by a thousand paper cuts, but it is emblematic. They're all the same. It's an attack on Kol HaTorah. So I think you have to say something. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier in terms of the lack of elements of Shabbos, yeah,
lack of Shabbos, yeah.
Is it possible that the Hamanina or the need for the star of Makal Shabbos Akas?
Maybe. I was thinking, I was going to mention that. Very good. Yeah. 100%. So Yehuda's saying, maybe, really, you know, Shabbos would have been on the list of Yehoram Vayab. But maybe Shabbos has one thing, you know, going for it, you know, that neutralizes, you know, what it has going against it. I mean, what it has going against it is also for it, because it's stature. Namely, when the Gemara in Yuma talks about, you know, Chilul Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, in addition to the regular din of Achai Bohem, it, you know, talks about, you know, the idea of Chalel Shabbos Achas Kadesh Tishmor Shabbosos Harbin. And there is a question, and Josh and I were discussing this the other day as well, whether or not that is something limited to Shabbos, or, you know, it's just an example of like a long-term versus short-term, you know, kind of a, an approach or orientation. So the idea, if it is a special din in Shabbos, that really Shabbos, in terms of Chumra Suaveira, or this, you know, maybe linchpin idea, really be, would be like it is in Mumar, the equivalent of Avodah Zarah. However, right, that's, you know, kind of its saving grace, you know, to live, you know, to fight, or to be Mekayim, more precisely, you know, another day, or for another day. So I do think that's a very, very reasonable idea. I think it's somewhat mechudash. I've always thought that that may be the case, but I do think that's, I think it's a good idea. Okay, so, yeah, let me talk just for a minute now about, again, to explain what we talked about, which was Amizrayu, I'm sorry, Islam and so on, and that based on, I think I mentioned the Ritva, but I just want to read the language just so you'll see. Oh, I should get rid of the cough. So the Ritva in Psachim on Chafayim Bedeis. Because of Od, the heavy Odeya she'emuna sa'yishma'elim, afabi she'hem miyachadim es Hashem, meaning it's not Avodah Zarah in a shituf perspective, Avodah Zarah gemura chashiva lehareg ve'al yishtameid. Okay? She'harei hamoda be'emunasam kofer betoras Moshe she'ena emes kamo shehi biyadenu. Meaning, because they believed that we corrupted, you know, the biblical text. The kol ki yotzei bo avodah zarah hi. V'lo omru b'shar mitzvos yavar v'al yehoreg b'miskavin lahaver l'kishomru lo chal l'shabbos lavar al datcha. Right? Lo shiyomru lo chal l'shabbos kemodesh ein toruscha emes. V'lo tziva kodesh baruch hu lishmar s'shabbos. Kach shamati. Miu. Bar mikol dein heich de farhesya yehorig val yav. Okay. So, it's interesting what he emphasizes. But he basically says, you know, if somebody said to you, Chalel Shabbos, you know, or yehorig, you know, the din is yavar val yehorig. He said, but that's because the person isn't saying to you, deny, you know, the validity or that the Torah itself, you know, establishes Shabbos. They're just telling you to violate. But when anything becomes a matter of principle, now again, the Ritva's focus on the principle here is in terms of the integrity of Torah Shebichsav. But one could have said, I think of the Tshuva of the Radbaz, that's the way it reads, that it's not the integrity Torah Shebichsav primarily, or alone, which causes this result. It is the begida, the you know, per se, just the betrayal of embracing a different religion, even if there's no technical Avodah Zarah. The Radvaz does quote the in his tshuva, I don't have it here, but he does quote the, anybody have the tshuva of the Radvaz? But he does quote the Ritva, and he links, the Ritva says what he says by Yehori Vayavar. He doesn't say anything about Mumar Lekola Torah Kula. What's fascinating about the Radvaz is that he, here in Maisa Karbanos, and this tshuva, he links Yehori Vayavar with Mumar Lekola Torah Kula, and even his formulation is, where is it? Yeah. The dash afal pishul kosav rabenu el mishumad lavar zara mechal shabbos befarhesia who adinim mishumad lechal torah kula. Again, this to me is also fascinating. As I said the other day, he doesn't say, which I would have said. I would have said that mumar lavar zara includes, you know, the betrayal of again adopting or accepting another religion. Because what's significant about Avodah Zarah isn't the Maisa Avodah Zarah, the Chomer HaIsor, or the Maisa Avera, or maybe not alone, but additionally or only, you know, what it does to the rest of mitzvos, and or the fact that it is a betrayal, you know, the ultimate betrayal. So I would have said that is true for Islam alone. He instead formulates it a little bit differently. Again, let me make it clear. The Ritva also doesn't say it's the embrace of Islam. It says it's the corruption of our belief of Torah Shebichsav, but he considers that to be under the rubric of Avodah Zarah. And the Radva is a little bit different. In a second, so let me finish the reading. That's Mumin L'chol Torah Kula, Afa Bisha Eina Oved Avodah Zarah, Kegon Shechazal Das Yishmal She'enan Ovedei Avodah Zarah. Then he says, Kasher Kosov Harav B'tshuva. That's a reference to the Rambam. I'll read you from that tshuva in a minute. Kilom b'nei shehim b'chazvim aleinu nichzav anu aleihem. Which, by the way, is a good policy. Okay? I mean, just because people lie about you doesn't give you the license to lie about them. Should be held to a higher standard. Should tell that to the, you know, to the politicians. V'afilu sheyishomer Shabbos mishuma nikra ve'hari v'yavar. Ukvar harachti b'zeh b'tshuva sheila. Anybody have it? V'chein ra'isi l'haritva sheheshiv kimishan su lachzar l'das Yishmael yehorek v'yavar v'zeh nikra mishumad l'chala tarakula d'tani resha d'braisa. Except for the Ritva says what he says of yehorek v'yavar. He doesn't say anything about mishumad. And you certainly can be mechalik, in my opinion, in either degree. You would get the impression from this Radvaz that the Rambam, although he thinks that Islam is not an Avodah Zarah, still thinks that embracing it is either Yehori Vayavar or Mumar L'chol HaTorah Kula, or both. But the truth is that the tshuva of the Rambam that he quotes, which is a very famous one, L'Rav Avadya Hager, is all just about how theologically Islam is not an Avodah Zarah. And it's all about Rav Avadya Hager being, or somebody being, you know, insulted. I'll just read a couple lines from it for a minute. You know, because he said, you know, you used to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. It's a function of the conviction of the Radvaz, you know, that, you know, that you can quote the Rambam in that way. And does the Rambam, even though he holds, you know, that Islam is not Avodah Zarah, nonetheless, he's writing this on his Perush of the Rambam here. You know, we'll agree, like, how does he know that? This tshuva says nothing about that. L'Rav Avadya Hager. She'ela aleil. Again, it's a fascinating tshuva. And a very musari tshuva. She'ela. Al elo ha'yishma'elim shamarta she'enam ovdim avadah zarah. Va'omer lecha rabcha she'em ovdei avadah zarah. Va'avanim shemashlichin, right, b'tir fosan, ke'en lamarkalis. They were having like some debate about the certain Islamic practices, whether they're really Avodah Zarah practices of Pa'or and Markalis. Says the Rambam, I should say this is Tachmem Kass, Heishiv Lecha Shelo Kahogen, Shezerom. There's a lot of pathos in this tshuva. Anshenis atzavta el libcha, right? You know, he made you depressed, that rabbi. Most of the rabbis are good, by the way. But this particular rabbi was not good. Or he did the wrong thing. Maybe did it, you know, misguidedly. Anshenetzavta el libcha v'nichlamta, like he embarrassed you, v'karalecha anei kasil ki'ivalto. Tshuva. Eilo yishmeilem einam ovde avarazara klal. Ukvar nichrasa mipiem umilibam v'hem yachtim lakel yisale yichud kiroi, yichud shem badofi, v'lo mipnei shem meshakrim aleinu umechazmim, right, v'omrim sh'anu omrim sh'esh lakel yisale bein nichsav kachanachnu, this is what he was quoting, aleim v'nomar shehem ovde avarazara. Just because they falsify our beliefs to make us look bad, right, doesn't give us justification, even though we're a rival religion, so we certainly reject them, you know, in every way. But it doesn't give us, you know, justification to misrepresent, you know, their theological beliefs. Hatori ida aleim asher mipiem dibershavi minam. They mean shaker, meaning they claim that we falsified the text of the Torah, and that's clearly nonsense. But same Torah, he heida aleinu she'eris Yisrael yasa avla v'lo yedabru kazav v'lo yimatzei b'fiyam loshon tarmis. V'im yomer adam she'bayis she'mekalsin oso beis avod azorahu, avod azorah tzfuna betocho, she'odin oso b'avoseh ma'bekach. Even if they're like hidden idols in their, you know, mosques, there's plenty to criticize in Islam without you know, falsifying and claiming that they don't believe in Yichud Hashem, right? B'ksav mipnei poshev v'rishei Yisrael. Avol b'Yichud Hashem yispala ein lehem taus klal, u'be'emes sheyu l'shmeilem mikodem ba'osem b'komos gimel mini avadazar. Their history is built on pa'or, markalis, and kamush. Ve'im atzma modem b'dvarim elu, hayom, v'koren lehem shemos b'lashon arabi, pu'ura, you know, and so, and then he goes on to discuss, you know, what is left of what they do, and so on and so forth. That doesn't concern us at the moment, although it's quite interesting. Kol shadavar afal b'she'ikar advarim yisodam labarazara, ein adam ba'olam mashlichosam avanim v'lo mishtach v'lo samakum v'lo sadavar mikol hadvarim l'shem avarazara lo b'fi v'lo b'libo el libo masal l'shamayim. Basher ishivcha rabcha shelo kahogen v'hetzivcha v'hichlimcha v'karacha ksil Avera gadola biyado v'chid gadol chata v'karav be'enai sheshogeg hu v'roy levakai shmimcha mechila. Afa b'shato talmido v'achar kach yatzum v'yizak v'yitpalel, pretty strong stuff, v'kana ulai yitkaper lo v'yimchalo hakel yitale. Right? V'chishikor hayazeh v'liyada, right? V'shloshim v'shishim mekomos hizhira Torah lager, right? right, v'ger lo sonei, right, hiyanoz dvarim, ilo omar hu ha'emes, v'hayisa ata ha'toe, ha'ilo lahazbir l'cha panecha, v'ledabir l'cha rakus. Even if you were correct, koskein she'amarta ha'emes, v'hu ha'toe, v'ot she'zeh doresh achar yishmaelim, heim ovde avarazorim la, v'ilo lochush, la'atzma lakas she'kos, at she'hichlim ger tzedek she'lo kedin. From Razal, Kalakoisia Benecha Kovet of Azara, that's the irony. Right, Dasha Chovash Chivasa Torah Lagerim Gedolahi, Ala Av, Ala Aim, Nitztavina Bekovet of Mora, Ala Nevim Lishmoa Mehem, Yafsha Shechabit Adam Vira, Vishma Mimisha Eno Oavo, Vala Gerim Sivanu Bava Rabba, Hamasura Laleva, Haftos Lager, Kemosha Sivanu Leva Shmo, Haftos Hashemelo Kakova, Karjbarko, Bechmodo, Oev Ger, Shinemar Oev Ger Losses Alech and the Simla, Zesha Karlacha Ksil Temagadalhu. Adam Shiniach Aviv Umbolarato Umalchus Amo Vyadam Hanatuya Behaven be'ain libo or be'ain libo above nidbak be'umazoshi hayom limitav goy eved right to moshlim v'hikir v'yoda shadatam das emes v'tzedek behaven darki Yisrael v'yoda shakala datos genuvos midatam right zemosiv v'zegorea zemishane v'zemechaze v'mechapal heidvarim al Hashem rather dvarim ashelochein zehores yisodot v'zevedaber tapuchot v'hikir akol v'rodav hachar Hashem v'avar b'derach hektesh v'nichnas takas kanfei eshkent. It's beautiful language. V'nis avik ba'afar ragle Moshe Rabbeinu Rabban shokol ha'neviim v'chafetz b'mitzvosav v'nisau liva l'kirva la'or ba'or achayim v'lahalos v'malos ha'malachim v'lismoach v'lusanik b'simchas ha'tzadikim v'hishlach olam hazeh milibo v'lopone el rehavim v'shate kazav mishazu malaso k'sil yikarei chalil alcha lo k'sil kara Hashem shemecha el ha'maski l'mevin u'pikeach v'holek nechochos Talmidu shel Avraham Avinu, sheniach avosav v'molarta v'notach rei Hashem, u'mishabirach es Avraham Rabcha, I could have had Moshe Rabbeinu, v'nosa lo scharo b'olam hazeh l'olam haba, u'yivorech oscha v'yiten l'cha scharcha k'roi b'olam hazeh l'olam haba, v'yarech hamecha ad shetore b'mishpatei Hashem l'chol adoso, right, v'yizke, okay, so basically you get the idea, liros b'kal n'chamos ha'asidus Yisrael v'yatov, ahu asher yitav Hashem imanu, v'yitavnu lach, right, Kashem di Bertova Yisrael, etc. So basically, there's nothing in this tshuva, of course, at all. If anything, the whole tshuva is about how Islam is not doesn't have a shemetz of theological Avodah Zarah in it. Again, the Rambam in Hilchos Machlos Asuros Perikid Aleph, I think Allah Zayin, I forgot to bring that Rambam, also mentions that. You know, followers of Islam are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But the other shoe, namely the Afal Pichein, you know, that nonetheless embracing Islam, you know, constitutes either Yehorik Vayavor or Mumar Lechola Tarakula Mandakar Shemeh. That is certainly not in the Rambam. And it's certainly possible that he disagrees. He may think either that Mumar L'Avodah Zarah requires, you know, the Isur HaChamur, or the Maisa Veira, you know, or maybe even the Rishus HaGavra requires that. Or at least he may think that in order for the other parts to be true, right, you need that overlapping element. And anything less. Again, he wouldn't deny that, you know, believing that Torah Shmos Rabbeinu is, you know, isn't accurate, like which is what the Ritva emphasizes, meaning kfira, on not just theological issues, but on Torah issues, you know, Torah not being seen on those kind of things. Ram doesn't deny that he says very, very clearly. He certainly wouldn't deny that it's also begida, you know, to join another religion and to embrace it. But that it constitutes Mumar L'Chol Torah Kula and Yehorik V'Yavor, I personally would be very excited for the Rambam to hold that way. I think it makes a lot of sense. But it's a function of the Radvaz's, you know, conviction more than there is any evidence in the Rambam, you know, that establishes that. Okay, was there a question? Yeah.
Yeah, just
Well, again, he himself is not calling it, which is actually a little bit interesting, because again, you could have been mechalik in either direction. In terms of Mumar L'Kol Torah Kula, Bemezid, in other words, and Yehorik Val Yavor, which of course is Ba'onis. You could have been mechalik, certainly, in either direction. And what is clear in the Radvaz, which again, I wouldn't have written this way anyway, is that when it comes to Mumar, like it's easier, in my opinion, to a little bit to say what he says about Mumar L'Chol Torah Kula, because the category is Mumar L'Chol Torah Kula, and Avodah Zarah and Shabbos, you know, are one off, or maybe more. We'll get to that in this minute. Violations, you know, that embody that. You know, just like in a way, like So if you hold like Rabbeinu Yerucham, well, let's bring back your Rabbeinu Yerucham into the discussion, which is, let's say, you're, you know, a mumar l'chol Torah kula chutz mi Shabbos in Avodah Zarah. I'm not sure what that would look like exactly, you know, but, you know, so to say, you know, that your embrace of Islam, you know, also qualifies you as mumar l'chol Torah kula, even though it isn't mumar l'Avodah Zarah, makes sense. Whereas, in the, you know, when it comes to Yehari Bal Yavor, it seems that that really depends on Avodah Zarah itself. Having said that, I would just add that since in the end of the day, even Yehari Bal Yavor, the Makar isn't Losa of Dame, right? It is the Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, right? So maybe even if you don't think, you know, that this is an expansion of Avodah Zarah, you have to kind of say it's an expansion of Avodah Zarah. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I don't know if that answered what you were asking. But.
Well, what I'm asking more is that once you do this expansion, so why? What are the parameters and why stop at joining another religion? I mean, he seems to be emphasizing that the Begida is limited to the Amir Khamid Begida. It's not like an ideological Begida.
Well, it is also ideological, I think. Meaning, it is another religion. It's a other way of reaching out to the Rabbonu Shalom. It's not just such. I think it's true that you are definitely. I think if you join another religion, you're doing two things. Even if you're not violating, you know, the theology of Avodah Zarah, you don't have a different perspective on the nature of the Rabbonu Shalom. But you are, for sure, throwing in your lot with another people, Yamei Chani. But I think you're also, even if it isn't theological, you're turning your back on Avodas Hashem and on Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos.
Exactly. That but it doesn't extend to other, there could be other pieces of the Gita in terms of ideology and turning your back on Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, which it doesn't extend to. And what about maintaining a Jew as but an atheist or a kofar as a Jew?
Right, these are questions. They're interesting questions. In Hilchos Avodah Zarah, for Yehari Bal Yavor, for example, and we'll talk about this a little more because it's an interesting issue for the Rambam, as we already noted, meaning Tzeduki, you know, which is, you know, just, you know, the forerunner of which was the Kuti, right, didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. That was the Lechem Mishnah's question. Like, why is that a Mumar L'Teyavon? Right? Why isn't that like the Mumar L'Avodah Zarah? Right? And the Rambam himself does say, you know, that if you're kofar, you know, b'Torah u'b'Moshe Rabbeinu, that you are a min, or heretic, you know, and so what does he think? Again, was the answer what we discussed? The Rambam also says there's a concept of Tinek Shenishba. Maybe. Or maybe there's a difference between not believing in Torah Shebaal Peh and completely rejecting, you know, both Torah Shebaal Peh and the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm not sure, but there's a question in Hilchos Yehari Gval Yavor. You know, there is a very healthy debate about other forms of minus and apikarsis, whether that comes under the rubric, just like you're saying, an atheist, you know, a person who says Moshe Rabbeinu didn't, you know, made it up. You know, or not every, or the, you know, HaTorah Yochal Lehishtanos, let's say other Yud Gimli Kari Amuna the Rama. Where does that lead? But I do still think it makes sense if we're talking about Mumar L'Kol HaTorah Kula and the elite, is that word again, or the, you know, very singular company of Avodah Zarah and Chil Shabbos, that maybe you have to encompass more. Especially if it isn't just about, you know, only Ma'is Aveira, for sure, but it's also not only about being a Gavra Min, maybe it's about, you know, being a Bogade B'Kol HaTorah Kula, you know, that kind of a thing. And whereas embracing another religion, I think, does that. First of all, it turns you back on the Jewish people, which, again, are many atheists who profess, you know, not to be turning their back. In fact, some of them have made amazing contributions. I always like to think, and I do believe, you know, that on some level, whether they know it or not, you know, that they're expressing their alakoy halakoy through their amei chami. But, you know, that's my speculation. I like to look at it that way. You know, I don't think it's just pie-in-the-sky, you know, optimism and idealism. I think it's, it doesn't make sense otherwise. Like, why would people, you know, sacrifice their lives and everything that is dear to them? It's irrational, you know, for the sake of Klal Yisrael and its destiny. What are they talking about, you know, in modern state of Israel, you know, or in other epochs in history where, you know, this is a relatively new phenomenon, I should say, so it's really more recent. Like, why would people do that unless on some level, whether they know it or not, you know, they just have this instinctive, you know, connection, you know, to the Rabbanu Shalom through Klal Yisrael. Because if it's just a people, a civilization, there really is no transcendence, no special content, it just doesn't make sense, you know. So, right, but, you know, there are plenty of people who are atheistic or who have unacceptable beliefs about, you know, Torah Shabbat Peh, but who are very, you know, lahut in their, you know, even sacrificing their Mesiras Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. In a way, when we talk about a kadosh, you know, somebody who dies on Kiddush Hashem because he was, you know, identified as a Jew, even if, you know, if he wasn't a very, you know, much a practicing Jew, which sadly we've encountered, you know, in more recent times even in America. But, you know, unfortunately this is something that we encounter a lot. I think some element of that is, you know, willy-nilly, his fate is tied up, you know, with the destiny of the Jewish people. That means something from a religious point of view, too, because of the Amei Chami and Alakai Chalakai being separate but also being conjoined. So, okay, sorry that took so long. Not the question. That was short, but, okay, so this is in terms of some of the issues connected with Avodah Zarah. So again, just in terms of, like, you know, the assumption of the Radbaz that these are two sugyas are the same in this issue, I don't think it's such an upper posture. Just the fact that Yehori Vayavar's list includes Gilei Arayos and Shfichas Damim. Yeah, one more second. And that, you know, the Mumah L'Chol Torah includes Shabbos, you know, and Farhesia, you know, and so on, may militate against it. The fact that, you know, the exceptional, you know, Shitas, Rav Hanan, you know, in our sugya, and Rabbi Shmuel, you know, in that sugya, may militate against it. And, you know, again, some of these other kind of parallel questions about what I call the Abizrayu things, or the expansions, you might be in the Chalik too. What about Essen? What about, you know, regular Lavin? What about Drabanans? You know, what about for Yehari Balyavar? And what about for Mumar? They don't have to be the same. It's an interesting parallel to ask about them. What does Rav Hanan think about Shabbos Befarhesia and Rabbeinu Yerucham or the Rajba's Mumar L'Chol HaTorah Kula? It sounds like he has to believe that there is a Mumar L'Chol HaTorah Kula, right? Even if he doesn't think Avodah Zarah qualifies for it. Maybe he's the only one who believes it. Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, Rabbeinu Yerucham believes it. But if you don't know that Rabbeinu Yerucham, so maybe only Rav Hanan thinks, you know, that Rabbi Yerucham is right. That's an interesting question. Two, what does Rabbi Shmuel think about Gilei Arayos and Shvichas Damim? Right? That's a debate among the Rishonim. If you look at already early Tosis in, you know, Tosis Rabbi Chanan, not Rabbi Chanan Vassarman, Rabbi Chanan, the son of the Rehi had a son named Rabbi Chanan, and in the Avodah Zarah we have his Tosis in. But already there in Avodah Zarah you have, you know, discussions about that, and other Rishonim weigh in, and certainly Achronim weigh in. What did Rabbi Shmuel think about, you know, Gilei Arayos and Shvichas Damim? Again, Gilei Arayos is particularly tricky, especially if it's a hekesh connected to, you know, to Avodah Zarah. But interesting. But whatever. Okay. So and of course Rotzeach could always be Shvichas Damim, could always be you know, Mitzvara, because you don't have a marker for that either. My Chazis might work differently. The Gemara has a suffix in Sanhedrin, you know, whether Ben Noach is mitzvah, you know, al Kiddush Hashem, or not. 2 days in the Gemara, and the Rishonim debate and the Achronim debate, you know, would he be mechalek Does he mean only for Hesia? Does he mean Gimel Averos? Would he mean Mechalik between the different Averos? You know, I mentioned that there's a debate about Lahanos Atzmo, you know, in the Gimel Averos. And some Rishonim who think that we should be Mechalik. Maybe there's no, you know, Lahanos Atzmo for Avodah Zarah, but maybe there is, you know, for Gilui Arayos. Probably no Lahanos Atzmo for Shvichas Damim. So these are interesting questions, but they also test whether or not this is really the same sugya, you know, or not. Yeah, Eitan. Comer Savera? Yeah. Well, I think what is clear in the Ritva, I also was thinking about that a little bit. I mean, earlier in the piece, not the one I read, but like an Amid Aleph, I think, right? An Amid Aleph, he pretty much quotes the Ramban, right? I think he quotes the Ra'ah in the name of the Ramban. But it's really the Ramban that we read that I mentioned the other day in Mochamos, which is that Hanos Atzmon is not going to help you in Gimel Averos because it's the Chomer Atzmon, etc. So I think what he certainly is eliminating. Do you have language there? What do you say when he quotes that?
He doesn't say Chomer Atzmon.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of the things I want to mention. So what's clear is that he doesn't think that you can equate the Gimel Averos in any way to Chilul Hashem. And the truth is that the Heter of Hanas Atmo makes most sense in Chilul Hashem. Because, you know, people understand that, you know, Achashverosh, you know, is a hedonist. You know, he's crazy. You know, you wouldn't necessarily want him to be your president, you know, but he is, you know, he's not an ideologue. You know, he's just, you know, he has, he's just totally an ego, you know, centric, you know, hedonistic, self-aggrandizing maniac, right? So that, you know, giving into him isn't betraying your religion. Necessarily, it just means you're recognizing that he's, you know, a bad person, but not ideologically. It's not an ideological struggle. He doesn't care about ideology. He doesn't have the attention span for it, frankly. Okay. Oh, I just had my Dvar Torah on Purim. So, right. But if you, I think the Ramban does emphasize Chomer Atzmon. It's likely that he means the Ma'isa Avera. Even the Ramban, I think, in a, you could suggest means that the Chomer isn't in the Ma'isa Avera or the Isur, but it's the overlapping impact that has, you know, in terms of being, you know, Begida, an act of Begida or an act of rejection of Kol Torah Kula, etc. But I certainly think you could say that for the Rit. I mean, the idea that Hanas Atman is not going to help you when you are doing something, you know, that embodies rejection of Kol Torah Kula, you know, or that makes you a Gavra Min, you know, Hanas Atzmon's going to help you, but not going to help you for that. So I think it's a good question. It concerned me a little bit also, but I think that is the answer. So this idea that there is this hierarchy out there, you know, these different lists, you know, if you're trying to, again, you know, kind of conceptualize or, you know, analyze or assess, you know, the profile of Avaryanim and Averos is, I just told you to look, I think, at a couple of Rambams. Eitan? Just to bring it at the sharp, there's many, many more Makoros, but just what I was referring to before. You get a chance to look at them? In Rotzeach? And, no? Okay. Anybody? Michael? Exactly. So in Shabbos, Lamed Tesvav, we read that already. Shabbos Lamed Tesvav, K connect Shabbos and Avodah Zarah. Right? Kalachas Mishteim Shkula connected Shar Kol Mitzvos HaTorah. Again, is that a linchpin idea or is that a Chomer idea? Or hard to know, but it's an interesting formulation. Right? And then Shabbos being an Os, so maybe that is a linchpin idea. Hard to know. Or Lefika Kol Over is Bechal Rishay Yisrael, Bechal Shabbos Barhesya, is Ki Over Avodah Zarah. It sounds like there's a ranking even here. You know, if you want to say Shabbos is a Mumin L'Chol HaTorah Kula, you're saying it's like Avodah Zarah. So Avodah Zarah is the first one. That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering about Rav Hanan. You know, is he going to leave Michal Shabbos Bifarhesya intact? And is he going to believe in Rabbeinu Yerucham or the Rajba? I don't know. I wish I could interview him. But I think it's a question worth raising. I think it's significant. But anyways, I think it's interesting that the Rambam's Michal Shabbos Bifarhesya is Kovet Avodah Zarah. Ushnehem Kigayim. Our Gemara doesn't say Kegoyim at all, ever. It says that you're a Mumer L'chol HaTorah Kula. It doesn't say Kegoyim. Kegoyim is a phrase that comes up, you know, with the Ten Shvatim, in Yavamos, and with the Kuti. Those also Mishoma Chasom, Goyim Gemurim. Right? But a Mumer L'chol HaTorah Kula, the Gemara doesn't use the expression. Some of the Gonim used it already. Rambam, I don't think, is the first to use it. But I think it's a significant usage and a significant escalation. I think it means that he really, really means it. So this is not the Rabbanon, etc. But again, it's a, if we pay close attention, you know, it's Michal Shabbos is an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, and therefore both of them are Kegoyim Gemurim, Mumer L'chol HaTorah Kula, Kegoyim Gemurim. And then we talked about the Os and the Rashi. Fine. But in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Rotzeach, you know, you have a few. You have Halacha Dalet and Yud Aleph. So what, Michael, you were saying? Halacha Dalet? Yeah. What is the Halacha Dalet? That's the one, if you'd only read Halacha Dalet, what would you think? Yeah. The single worst. And you would have trouble selling that, you know, to the public. I mean, Shrikas Damim is pretty bad. Right? By the way, that's, you know, it doesn't even need a makor for Yehari Vayavar. Right? You have a svara. People who think that the Chomer Atzmon, you know, doesn't apply to the others. Right? Even the Balamor. Does the Balamor think, you know, that Hanos Atzmon is going to help you in Shvichus Damim? There's a discussion about this. The Raivet and the Kasav Sham. It seems not. It's easiest to say Bagili Arayos, what the Balamor says. There's some discussion whether, well, maybe there's no Heichat Timtzi to say it in Avodah Zarah. Where's the Hanos Atzmon in Avodah Zarah? I think the Ramban says, not such a problem, I can give you some. If that's the only thing that really bothers you. Right? If we're talking about different Mechaivim, it's not a question of creating a Heichat Timtzi. Anyways, of course, Shvichus Damim, we understand that's a good candidate. What does Ramban say about it? Here's the time where he's talking about, I was referring to before, right, about what? Kofar, go ahead. Muzar and Bezdin and Shalikach, go ahead. First of all, it's very important formulations. Right? Even though we noted last year, whoever was here, you know, that the Rambam a little bit disappoints us. Who can finish the sentence? I was going to say you have to be pretty good. David, you weren't here last year, so you're off the hook. Well, it's not so hard to figure out, because when does the Rambam disappoint us? Almost never. Anybody? No, not the people who are here first year. I mean, and not Avram, he wasn't here last year either. I don't know where Avram was last year. He was like missing in action. Oh, he was with Itamar, that's good. Okay, so Aryeh, it was like one time practically, I think the whole year, Ram disappointed us. Nathan? Josh? Moshe?
Never disappointed.
Micha? Michael? Never. If I'm going to tell you the one it is.
Psul Malach.
No, it's only a compliment.
2 years ago, Psul Malach was disappointing.
What's that?
Psul Malach and Shuas was disappointing.
No, I thought that was very good. I mean, how but he split it up between where the Mechaivim really are. mean, you thought it was disappointing.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was disappointing. I thought actually that was magnificent.
Yeah.
Anybody? Eitan? Matthew? Matthew is kind of... Yoni? What? And there was one, only one Joey? One that stands out, Moshe. Ah. The Rambam wanted to explain that you can't be mochel in Chavallah. Right? Enin a mochel Rashi Evarim? Right? What did he say? Are you now admitting that you're disappointed or not? What?
We weren't really.
You weren't? I was disappointed. What did the Rambam say?
He said it was more of a technicality.
Yeah, it's an umdana.
Yeah.
He said, you know, people might tell you, go ahead, beat me up. You know, cut off my limb. But in the end of the day, you know they don't mean it. It's an umdana. Whereas I wanted him to say that it doesn't, even if there was an umdana that he meant it, you're not by limb to be mochal and rashi varin. Okay, Josh is being Modal Amos. Right? That would be a more fundamental, you know, way to say it. Right? Again, no, we're not, don't get me wrong, we're not second-guessing the Rambam. We, you know, and it doesn't lessen our absolute appreciation. But why am I telling you that now? What? Because here he says it, but he just doesn't say it about, which is why I thought that maybe he meant something like that. But, I mean, there's no umdana because it's not conceivable. Meaning because it's nonsense. Not he doesn't mean it. He doesn't mean it because it's not a sayable category. Right. Anyways, so that this is what he says here, right? Ein nafsho shel zeh hanera kinyan goel adam. Elikinyan Hakadosh Baruch Hu, right? V'lo sikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach. The point is, it's not even kinyan ha'ish atzmo. It's kinyan Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The ein lechadavar shekpida Torah. There's a key line. Alav kishvichas damim. Does that mean shvichas damim is the most heinous halachic crime? He answers in one respect. Right? It's the most dastardly, for sure. And in terms of k'peda sakasu, you know, in some respect, the answer is yes. Right? V'lo saknifu sa'aretz, k'adamu yachnifu sa'aretz. But, look at halacha yud aleph. It's not yet the but go ahead. What's what I'm talking about in aleph yud aleph? What's that talking about? Rodef and Matzilin Oso Benapsha. Correct? Go ahead. What's he said previously about Roseach? Correct? The Huadin. Hazachar. Arayos. Even though Shabbos, these are very important formulations, right? Even though Shabbos and Avodah Zarah are Ikare Hadas, look and see why you, right? They're in terms of their implications, right? They're more consequential than Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos as Ikare Hadas, as principles. Right, as religious commitments in a certain sense, right? After all, Shabbos is an os, right? And Avodah Zarah, we understand what it is. But nonetheless, when you're talking about saving him from himself by killing him, you know, not letting him, let's say, destroy his Tzelem Elokim, you know, kind of an internal yardstick. We only do that for Gilui Arayos and Shvichas Damim. Some of the partners on Yarei Vayavar. Okay, not on Shabbos and Avodah Zarah. Okay. What about Dalet Tes? Enus and Davazel Lashar Mechiyavi Misas Bezdin. But meaning the other ones, of course, will take to trial, but we don't, you know, we don't do anything to prevent it. Okay. Oh, now he said before that the Torah is not makbid on anything more, right? What did he say? Einacha davar shekpida Torah alav kishvichas damim. But now we're talking about avonos chamurim. He says afal pishyesh avonos chamurim mishvichas damim, as religious transgressions, as opposed to, right? Ein bahen. Go ahead. Hashkasa, he's explaining a little more. Yeshuvo shel olam. Go ahead. Right, here he has all three of the others. Even Avodah Zarah, that's in the hierarchy, that's also apparently Mashkis Yeshuvo shel olam. Interesting. It's not just in the realm of religion. I mean, it is. But the realm of religion is relevant to Hashkasa olam, you know, for a religious person. Right? Ain't Sar Chlomar Arias, O Chilul Shabbos. Interesting. But the ultimate Hashkasas Yeshuva Shalolam, of course, is Shvichas Damim. She'elo Avonos Hein Me'averish Shem Adam LaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though they do enter into Yeshuva Shalolam, right? Avos Shvichas Damim, go ahead, Me'averish Shem Adam Ben Chavero, V'chom Yishyesh Bo Avon Zeh, Hare Rasha Gamor, look how he's struggling with it. The Maisa Avera, the Rishus Agavra, the impact on society, the impact on Ikare Hadas. In the Rambam, exactly is doing, you know, what we have been trying to do, which is deal with complicated, you know, mixed evidence, and to try to formulate the idea. You know, that, you know, when I say, what's the worst, what's most heinous, you know, the answer is, it's complicated, depends what you mean. There are different dimensions of life. Correct? So he's Rasha Gamor, Ve'en kol mitzvah she'asa kol yamav, shkulin keneged avon zeh. Notice, he doesn't say that if you're shofech damim, or that everything that you've done till now, you've done as an outsider. Is that what he's saying? He's just saying it's all insignificant. It is all on the scales. It's outweighed by this murder that you did. That's different than saying you did this. All the good you did is null and void, or is as an outsider. Okay. Again, I don't know whether it's fair to hold the Rambam up to these very rigorous, you know, linguistic standards. Every time he talks about this, because, I mean, just imagine, let's say you talked about it all the time, right? It's hard to keep straight your vocabulary. But when he does, and when he's, like, weighing in on these issues, which he is, right? And sometimes he doesn't need to be. He doesn't need to be talking in Avos Rotzeach several times, right, about how other Averos stack up. But obviously this is the way that he's thinking. He's learning a sugya. And he's, you know, learning what it says in the text in front of him and weighing the possible interpretations. And at the same time, he's taking a step back, you know, and he's looking at the macro, you know, halachic and value issues and saying, ah, what are the implications of this for a, you know, perspective on values and hierarchies, etc. That's what he's doing. Go ahead. Meaning as many mitzvahs as he does, it's going to be outweighed. Doesn't mean he didn't do them, though. Okay. Shenemar. Right, whenever the Rambam quotes, you know, from Tanakh or other things, he's you know, he's expanding his analysis and his discussion. Okay, so you see just these, you know, alone, these are, you know, some of the main ones, you know, that really tackle this question. Okay, then when you add to that, you know, the Rambam's Hilchos Teshuva, and the Rambam, remember what we've seen already, the Rambam has a whole philosophy of Mumar L'Teyavon, a very consistent one. He has a perspective on the relationship of Teyavon and Lahakis, and Lahakis and Avodah Zarah, right? And the Rambam doesn't take the easy way out either, in terms of, you know, just a very clear, consistent, obvious, you know, perspective when he try when he talks about these topics in Hilchos Teshuva, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, right, in Hilchos Rotzeach, in Hilchos Maaser Karbonos, in Hilchos Shkagos, in Hilchos Shechita. Have I left anything out of those? Are the ones that we've seen, right? Anyways, the point is, again, we've tried to square, and I think mostly we have squared his view. But in the end of the day, you know, all this goes into it, okay. Which means you have to work harder. Okay. Having said that, I think we're going to have to stop here. So what I want to do next, I want to finish off of Avodah Zarah, but by analyzing, again, the relationship to Shabbos, and then again, this I want to get back to Mumar L'Chol HaTorah Kula. I want to finish with these. So the Shabbos thing, I want to talk about Regilus. How many times do you have to violate? In addition to the, I told you look at Tosas on Yudalot Amud Aleph and the Yadosa Shri and the Mordechai. Also look at the, you know, Ramban there on Yudalot Amud Aleph. That's very crucial. If you get a chance, also at the Chidush Eran, not the Ran of the Rif, but the Chidush Eran, and the Rajba on in Shver Sabayis. That's Dalid, Aleph Dalid. In other words, thanks. So it's, you know, that's the beginning, but, you know, it's, what is it? How do they Bias Rishon, Shar, Dalid. In the beginning, they have a little discussion of this. Again, I still want to speak a little more about the Shulchan Aruch a little bit, but these questions of, you know, do you become a mumar and passel the meat that you're shechting? Okay. Or do you need some sort of regilus? And do you need that for the shame mumar, or do you need that for to be posel the basar? Okay. What do we mean when we say kagoy? Let's go back to the Piskei Rid and the Riaz. What's their view of mumar? Lavarazar being a mumar l'chol HaTorah Kula. Is that drabanan? Is that daraisa? And I think I gave you a look at the Eshkol, the Tashbetz, the Meiri, those kind of things. So I want to, again, try to finish off as much as we can on Thursday. And then we pick up again. If I don't finish, then I'll try to finish it latest Monday. And then I want to talk about, again, the Mishnah Melech, Ola, and then the Tachlifei Serena. And then I want to move on to Vav and Zayin. Okay.